Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
And it's a happy new year from Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, welcoming you here to 2015, the first episode of this year. And I mentioned last week's episode that it's a very special interview this week because I'm here in Mompos with two very good friends, fellow writers, published authors, Victoria Kellaway and Caroline Doherty de Novoa. And they've come out to Mompos to visit me here. And so we're having like a kind of literary weekend. And well, it's extended now, but a literary, sojourn in Mompos. So welcome on the show and welcome to Mompos. How is everything here?
Oh, it's so beautiful. I think it changes every time I come. You know, you think it's this town lost in time, and then you return, because I was here a year ago, and you see all the little changes in the developments, and the access is opening up. It's really quite easy now. So Mompos is a gem. I would visit it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, this is my first time in Mompos. I'm loving it, and I think it's a perfect place for a writer's retreat because it is so relaxed. You have so much and so steeped in history, you can just wander around, and everything in every sort of street corner is an inspiration.
I actually thought about this for the Casa Maria, you know, doing like writers' retreats and workshops and things, but don't you think the heat is somewhat, you know, let's say detrimental or prohibitive to a production, you know, writing?
I don't know, that the garden in the middle, the courtyard, the hummingbirds floating around, like, I think it will at least give you something to, you might not get much writing done in terms of word count, but you'll have plenty of inspiration.
I think you have to come here with a work finished and then read here and maybe edit here. But in terms of productivity, you're not going to write 100 miles an hour, but you'll certainly be inspired, as Caroline said.
This is true. Well, I'm just going to, paint the picture and tell you guys out there, the listeners all around the world, you know, we are seated in the back of my house, which is situated on in the Plaza de la Concepción in this downtown Mompos, in as much as you can say downtown. We're in the back garden. There is a hummingbird flitting around and some tropical flower at the back here. We've got, you know, Colombian coffee on the brew, so that's wafting through. And of course, to record well, we've turned off the fan, so we're all a little bit sweaty. So that's the image.
Reality.
But I wanted to move on from that. You know, this is a creative place. Mompos always has been a creative place. That, you know, the university that was here, and of course, the literary movements that have come out of here. Of course, we've got an Academy of History, so things are culturally, let's say, based here. But that's why the three of us are now convened around this table, is because there's something we need to share with the listeners of Columbia Calling. It is an exclusive. Now, Caroline Doherty de Novoa has been on the show before, and so some of you might know her or might have heard of her. You can read and buy her book on Amazon, which is Dancing with Statues. And we've got Victoria Kellaway, who is the author as well of Columbia, A Comedy of Errors. So we've got two high-end, you know, literary figures from the Colombian landscape here. And you know, what have we got to sell? Why are we here? Who wants to jump in?
Caroline, go for it.
So we're excited to announce that in 2015 we're going to launch a book of essays, sort of in homage to Gabriel Garcia Marquez, who sadly passed away last year. And the reason we're doing this is, you know, we know so many writers in Colombia or who currently live in Colombia or have lived in Colombia. And when you talk to any of them, they always talk about how they were influenced to come here by Gabo, or they came here and they suddenly found they were living in a Gabo novel. And he just has a special place in our hearts. And so we decided, and so many people have so many wonderful stories about the influence his work has had on them. And so we wanted to really capture that. And so we decided to go ahead and pull together those essays with some wonderful contributors that I'm sure we'll talk about.
We will. We're going to launch into this in the second part of the show. But I mean, that, you know, this is quite phenomenal. The three of us seated down here is another book. Mm. You know, how cool is that? I'm pretty excited. How about you, Victor?
Yeah, I think it really shows that there's something that's special about Colombia. We had this idea. We'd spoken to a few people. The theme of Gabo has sort of been coming through, and we thought, okay, well, let's do this call and see who can write an essay and really capture the magic of Colombia through his works, and let's see what we get. And I think it's fair to say we've been overwhelmed by the quality of the responses and the diversity and just the humour and the magic of this country that people have somehow been inspired to capture in print. And now we're super excited about this project. What started as a bit of a dream and a fun idea, and wouldn't it be wonderful if you could really capture all of these experiences, has turned into something that we think is going to be quite remarkable.
Excellent. So listen, stay tuned. We're going to be right back after a couple of commercials out there, and we're going to talk more about this book in the second and third sections of this show. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, here with Victoria Kellaway and Caroline Doherty de Novoa, and we'll be right back to talk more about this book. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. And as I mentioned in the first section of the show, we are here with Caroline Doherty de Novoa and Victoria Kellaway, two authors, growing esteem in the literary landscape here of Colombia. I've got to flatter you, it's the radio, you know, and no one can see me sweating here. They can just hear my dulcet tones. Anyway, but we're talking about this book that was being put together. It's an homage to Gabriel Garcia Marquez from, let's say, writers from a variety of backgrounds. Perhaps, Caroline, you could tell us a little bit more about it, how it came about, what it might be called.
So I think it came about from the three of us sitting talking about how Gabo influenced us and then talking to other writers. And we put out a call through Paper and Press, who's going to be publishing the anthology, whenever we got sort of the package ready and we knew what we were looking for. And it's creative nonfiction essays. So it's people who have lived in Colombia, and we thankfully have received submissions from all around the world from writers either currently living in Colombia or have lived in Colombia. And the great thing is, from all different walks of life and all around the world, we've received a whole variety of submissions that we're now working our way through and trying to narrow it down to the best ones so we can put out the best book possible. And also the most interesting book possible that shows sort of all the different wonderful, crazy sides of all the crazy contrasts that you find in Colombia, which I think is one of the things that Gabo kept coming back to. And it's sometimes when you're sitting perhaps in a chilly flat in Manchester, which is perhaps where I was when I first read one of his books, it didn't resonate with me in the same way as perhaps it does now, having lived it and having seen all those contrasts. And so in terms of our working title, as I said, we're still working through, so we're still working out exactly what's going in the book. But we have a working title, which is called Was Gabo an Irishman? And other essays. And you're just going to have to buy the book when it comes out to understand that title.
Oh, I think it's excellent. And I think, we've got ideas, and we've been narrowing down the submissions to ensure we've got a good healthy amount, but also strong. You know, it's a backbone of proper literary experiences. It's not, you know, but Vicky, Victoria, you have some ideas of how this book has panned out. Share a little bit with us here.
Well, in terms of, you can make a call for essays and you know people have interesting stories, but what you cannot always guarantee is the literary quality and the fact that people will be able to conjure that magic on paper. But the responses we've received have been fantastic from that point of view. There's some kind of magic in this country. Firstly, that after 200 years of solitude, it's kind of really opening up and people feel safe and happy and welcome here and they're moving here. And then they're able to try to explain somehow some of that magic they feel that's really pulled them here and how they've connected with Colombia through the works of a man who is famous around the world and has touched so many people, like you say, from people in chilly flats in Manchester to beautiful apartments in Paris, you know, are totally affected by that work. So, but you've got to remember that we're not just looking at people who've come and seen the, well, we were laughing, weren't we, yellow butterflies on Marmalade. It's not just, oh, it came and it was so pretty and there was a Macondo-like town and people really do have all the same names throughout their family. No, we're talking about a nation that's really had a difficult history and is still experiencing a lot of difficulties and a lot of horror out there in the countryside. And although we would never seek to explain that or express that because we're foreigners and we see it from a different perspective, there's always that hint of narratives, both through the works of Gabo and both through what's emerging in our anthology, of the multifaceted Colombia, the positive, the negative, the beautiful, the difficult to understand, all told through these writers who really offer a different perspective on it all.
And it is. I mean, that's the thing, you know, going through these submissions, we've all got them out in front of us now, you know, we're leafing through, flipping back and forward for inspiration right now, but equally, you know, they're so different.
Yes.
They really are. They don't follow one central theme at all. It's never about, oh, you know, let's say the Buendia family. It's never all about that. We've got from, a diverse array of contributors, as also the sort of influence of the different Gabo books.
Absolutely.
News of a Kidnapping, The General in His Labyrinth, obviously 100 Years of Solitude and Love in the Time of the Cholera are there as the two sort of kingpins of his literary works and his background. But there are people also making references to, you know, Vivir para Contarlo,
exactly.
You know, his biography, autobiography, and other such natures, and essays which are a bit more obscure that perhaps people out there will not have read. But again, we need to say that this is not an academic book.
No.
This is very much a narrative, isn't it? I mean,
it's full of emotion. It's full of human experiences.
Okay.
It's people's personal stories, and what's really quite wonderful about Gabo is that you might be able to you know, read Hemingway and then go to Spain 100 years later, or who's it, Orwell,
exactly.
In Burma, whereas people were reading Gabo and then coming here, and it's not something that was written about a Colombia that now no longer exists. It's contemporary Colombia still sort of very much
evident.
Reflects his work, and so it's offering a real unique perspective on his work through the eyes of readers and people who love his work, but also have lived both the good and the bad of life in Colombia.
But it's true, because, you know, that's the thing. It's not just, you know, it's past Colombia, it's present, contemporary Colombia, and it will be future Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say, you know, I mean, it's become part of that, let's say, language, the language used to describe things that you see that perhaps cannot be explained, that are uniquely Colombian. We say, oh, that's Macondian, or as they would say in Spanish, Macondiano.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a kind of way of excusing themselves for an idiosyncrasy. It's like, the things didn't arrive on time and it was being driven by a parrot. Well, therefore, that's Macondiano, you know, something. There's always a lot of things like that, or, you know, the way that something, you know, a local will explain the reasons for which Colombia has always been so, let's say, maybe a bit backwards or maybe a bit contrived or something. Oh, it's Macondiano, no? Wouldn't you say that?
I think what I really love about our book is that I don't think our contributors really know what they've let themselves in for. Because for many of them, it probably was one of the first times that they've been given the opportunity to explain their relationship with this country and their relationship with Gabo, and he never shied from the truth, and they haven't either. And what you have is a series of very truthful, emotional, fantastic essays, and they're really putting their soul out there. And I think that's what really shines through when you read the book, and people say, wow, these people really told the truth, and I don't know whether they'll live to regret that, whether we will. But that's one of the things I think is really beautiful about this project, that people are really honest about this country. The magic and the difficult parts and the beautiful elements of Gabo, it's a very honest book.
And falling in love in Colombia, yeah. With Colombia, with Gabo,
exactly.
With Colombians.
With Colombians, yeah.
That happens.
A lot more than we expected, I think, when we started this project.
With Vallenato, which is also unexpected.
Vallenato has a message in there, too.
Oh, of course, Vallenato. And it's got a dig as well. And we all know where I stand on that one. But that's okay, and it's not. But it is true. And of course, I think another thing that is worth explaining is it's not a Bogota-centric book, is it? It's everywhere around the country almost has been represented.
Ooh,
I mean, of course, the Caribbean coast and then sort of the interior Caribbean coast do, you know, figure pretty, you know, heavily because, of course, that is a Gabo, let's say, a Garcia Marquez region. Of course, he was born in Aracataca, you know, grew up in all sorts of towns around here, Sucre. Where we sit now in Mompós is the town which, of course, as I said before, you know, resembles a Macondo of the 100 Years of Solitude, but his wife, Mercedes, was from Magangay, which is a pretty unlovely town. On the other side of the river, it's the second largest economic sort of bustling port in Bolivar. Not a lot of people know that, only behind Cartagena. So, of course, it's incredibly important. And they courted from so young, and she went to high school here in Mompós, on the high school that's, you know, not even 200 meters from where we sit now. So, of course, this does feature quite strongly, quite heavily in the book, but it's from everywhere because a Macondian or a Gabo-style experience can take place anywhere, even in Cauca or Putumayo. I don't know if we've got any...
Or on a bus in Bogota,
but...
All the way through. Yeah, I think that's a great element, too. We've got writers from around the world, and we have all of Colombia reflected, so no one's really left out in this project.
It's important. It's important to get this. But do we not feel, I have to ask as an open, and myself in the third person. Do we not feel that if we're saying too much truth through these narratives, that we might get, you know, let's say a negative kickback from Colombians or, you know, these gringos, these foreigners, you know, talking about our country, what right do they have? Do you think that there's a possibility of some negative responses there?
I think Vicky will have a different answer than me, but personally, I don't think so, because, yes, you'll probably be able to pick out one or two lines that someone can get up in arms about, because it's true and people don't like the truth sometimes. Mm-hmm. But on balance, Colombia is a wonderful country, so if you tell the truth about the country, you'd say the good and the bad. But if you're telling the whole truth, I think the good will outweigh the bad, and I think that's definitely the case in our book. Because
yes,
that's our experience here.
The essays are overwhelmingly positive. They are, of course, truthful, otherwise they wouldn't be worth reading. But yes, Colombians can be extremely sensitive, like all of us are. I mean, no one likes somebody to come into their house and start moving the furniture around. But I don't think there's any danger with our book, really, that we've been sensational or that we've focused on anything. We certainly haven't spoken about the conflict, because who are we and who are our contributors to write these essays? Because they're not academic. No one's trying to do anything, solve anything. They're just trying to speak about the magic of Colombia. So, I mean, I'd be very surprised if people didn't love this book as much as we do.
Yeah, they're personal stories as well. Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful.
So, there's there's a background to them. There's, again, the reality of these things. You can say, well, you know, oh, you're always, you know, perhaps if something negative comes through, I think we can also defend ourselves and say, well, this actually happened.
Oh, yes, very accurate essays. No one's living on cloud nine with any of these, are they?
Okay. And so who can we say, you know, this book's going to appeal to us? We wind down the last 4 minutes of this second section. Who can we say that this book will appeal to out there? Who should be putting this on their list for 2015?
First of all, anyone who's read and loved Gabo's work, I think, definitely, because it offers you just a new perspective on what he's written. Anyone who's in Colombia or interested in coming to Colombia, I think it also sort of offers you a glimpse behind the facts and figures to some of the magic and the nuances of daily life here. Who else?
No, I think anybody with an interest in Colombia who doesn't necessarily want to read a guidebook before they come, like you say, yeah, you can look up a hotel on the internet, you can flick through to find out the bus timetable, but then you want to read something that really scratches at the essence of a nation. And you have so many different essays, whatever mood you're in, on the bus, on the plane, travelling around, even if you have a child who lives in Colombia, say, I want to understand this country, this book is for you.
And also because Gabo wrote about such human emotions, love, death, aging, conflict, politics. The book captures all those things as well from personal essays, so it's also sort of for anyone who just wants to read a good story and perhaps have their heart touched in some way.
And of course, potentially just appealing to the more lazy reader out there. They're quite short, you know. Some stories are shorter than, you know. So just before going to sleep, you know, especially if you're in a town, let's say, like also Cartagena, where the heat is up there. And so
you can only get through 3 pages.
You will be able to get through the one page, two page thing. So but they're nice, let's say, digestible.
Absolutely. And lots of different voices. So if one voice doesn't appeal to you, you've turned two pages and you've got something completely new. It's a bit like the works of Gaba, really. Mm. News of a Kidnapping had one audience. Love in a Time of Cholera has another. In the same way, this book has a multitude of audiences.
I hope this is a book that people will buy. And, well, of course I hope that. But I hope that people will buy this book and put it aside, or have it, or keep it electronically, whatever, you know. And then we'll come back to refer to it later. That's what I would like to see from this. It's like, you know, let's say it's something you could dip in and then put down for a while, things like that. Not something you want to read in one sitting, you know, with more, let's say, more shelf life.
Something
all that
to think
kind of
about. And maybe they want to contribute their own. I mean, once you read one of these essays, everyone has an essay like this inside them, especially if they have a relationship with Columbia.
So you're saying, you saying that we're going to do a second volume?
I'm sure we will.
Well, there's another exclusive for Columbia Calling.
Exclusive to Richard and I as well.
Very good, very good. I think this is excellent. We're going to come back in just a moment, but you know, you will be able to find more information about this working title, which is the book of the working title, which is Was Gabo an Irishman? We will be putting up social media and a Facebook page when we are getting closer to the time. In the next section of the show, of course, we'll be announcing when it will be launched, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the contributors. But for the time being, you'll be able to find information on our website. That's ColumbiaCallingRadio.com, and of course the Facebook page Columbia Calling, at Columbia Calling on Twitter, and of course through our various other authors will be promoting it on all sorts of things out there. But you know, just keep one eye open on Facebook, because I think things will probably pop up there first.
They will,
just being the easiest sort of medium out there. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes to continue talking about Was Gabo an Irishman, the working title of this homage to Gabriel García Márquez, written by contributors and writers from all over the world and all about Colombia. So don't go away, we'll be right back. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here in Mompós Bolívar, in Mompós Tierra de Dios, they say, because of the amount of churches and the religious nature of this town, but they're mistaken because it's anti-clerical and it's Masonic. But that's part of the Macondian sort of routine that we have been creating on this show today. I just take a little moment and just say, listen, a really big thank you to Victoria Calloway, the author of Columbia Comedy of Errors.
Co-author
with Sergio, that's right. Sergio. Lievano, and of course Caroline Doherty de Novoa, Irish Colombian writer, author of Dancing with Statues, both books available on Amazon. But it's a big thank you for them being here in Mompós, because I realize it's not, you know, the closest place in the world to almost anything, but it is a good literary retreat, and you know, we're sitting down here, and you know what, I'm actually quite excited for the way that Columbia Calling, this radio show, has moved in the last year. We really have gone more literary. I mean, I've had you guys on the show with your books. I've had the Bogota writers on the show. I had a gentleman in the United States with his book. We've had Ian McKinley from the Canadian Embassy promoting his book as well. So it's been quite a literary show. So anyway, it's a big thank you. And as we talk about the working title of our collection of essays, well, a collection of many people's essays, and the working title is Was Gabo an Irishman? And we're here in Mompós. This is this literary seat talking about it. So it's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
And it was actually fairly easy to get here, so I hope to come back and get some more inspiration in the future.
Keep doing that. And right into the Lonely Planet then. And tell them that.
We had a pretty nice road trip here.
Yes. It's not difficult to get. I think that's just another myth about Mompós, really.
Which I think that they like to perpetuate.
Exactly, to keep people out.
Yeah.
Well, I do, you know. So, you know, I'm not a good capitalist in that sense of the word. I just enjoy the way it is, the town of sleepy things. In fact, there were a couple of people turned up without a reservation today, and we were all full in the Casa Maria, and they were like, oh, all this stuff, we should have booked. And I was just like, you know, I kind of like it that, you know, and they were like, well, what's there something to do? What's to do here in Montpos? I was, you know, it's not Disneyland. It's not something where there's everything to do, but it's. But I said, you know, it's Sunday today. It's Sunday. Well, this is we got on Monday, but this is Sunday today, the day they arrived, and they went, and it'll be sleepier if you can believe that. anyway, back to the
book. It's a little hidden gem. It's absolutely beautiful, Montpos. Really worth it.
But back to this book in hand. Was Garbo an Irishman? The working title. Now we've got submissions from all over the world. It's true, and all over the country of Colombia, and of various different, you know, backgrounds. I mean, that's what's been so exciting about this. And perhaps, you know, some of you, Victoria or Caroline, would like to share. You know, let's name a couple of the contributors.
So we had a huge amount to come in, so we haven't narrowed down the final list yet. We're still working through a lot of it, but some of the early submissions that we absolutely loved and we're very happy that it'll be going in the book. Jordi Reich. Who was a humanitarian, very senior humanitarian worker in the country, and also another writer. His contribution is wonderful, and the really interesting thing about his is he's lived in Colombia, he's done a lot of humanitarian work in Colombia, and he also attended Gabo's funeral, so he has a really sort of interesting, unique perspective.
I mean, this is not small fry, you know, to get submissions from someone, you know, let's say, background. And we've got to be happy about that.
I think people connect with every area of Gabo's life, and right until the end, to have somebody who wrote a very personal experience of Gabo's funeral was sort of the finishing touch, really. Yeah. It's really quite fantastic to read.
Okay. Who else can we jump in on here?
We've got a great piece from Tim Wendia, who I believe
many people know.
A Dutchman, isn't he?
Yeah, his real name is Tim and Goer.
Okay, let's keep calling him Tim Wendia.
A very famous figure in Colombian foreigner folklore.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting about him is he goes by the name Tim Wendia. He's lived in Gabo's hometown. And also he's one of those people that, just by the very fact that he calls himself Tim Wendia, accepts the Macondian element of mixing, you know, reality and magic and dreams can all be mixed together to create a new reality.
Well, let's jump in on the topic of Tim, because Tim, you know, was on the show some time ago now. You can find that, but, you know, just Googling it's easy enough. But, you know, he did live in Aracataca. He lived in this tiny town, which where Gabo was born, and has become part of the Macondian lore.
Yes.
You know, I think more people now are going through Aracataca because of the work that Tim did.
Absolutely.
And a legend of a Dutchman who on occasion would wander around with a walking stick. I mean, he's about 6'5", if you can imagine. Dark glasses, occasionally in a dress too. But anyway, I know that he's up living in Los Angeles and he's had a child and everything, and, you know, but and things are up there. But equally, his promotional work for Gabo and Aracataca has been second to none. So it's
Absolutely.
Been so great to appeal to someone of such, you know, such importance to contemporary Gabo understanding.
Definitely. And it's nice to have somebody like Tim, because it helps all of our cause, really. I mean, we come to this country and we make it our home and we're very welcomed into it, but we all need to show that we put something back into Colombia, a nation that really needs every resource available at this kind of critical moment in its history. And people like Tim really prove that foreign people can come here, can be adopted into Colombia, and can really give something back. And as you say, the work he did for Aracataca, he was the reason I visited Aracataca, and I had a fantastic trip there. And many people made the pilgrimage thanks to Tim. So it's great to have him in our book, and it's great to have him represent us as foreigners who've fallen in love with this country.
Now, I believe there's also someone out there in the coffee zone who's submitted as well. Who knows this person?
Barry Maxwell's, yeah, he wrote a brilliant essay about his experiences on the coffee farm, and he has a long relationship with Colombia too. And well, I don't want to spoil too many of the secrets of his essay, but he just represents the huge diversity of experiences and geographic experiences that are represented in our collection.
Of course, and then a long-time contributor to Colombia Calling, Kevin Howlett, as well, is putting something in. So we'll know there'll be, you know, for those of you who know his website, ColombiaPolitics.com, you know it'll be a politically motivated piece.
Kevin's another heavyweight. I mean, we're not speaking about people who just wandered into Colombia and thought they would pick up a pen. We're talking about people who are making it their life's work now to study this country.
Mm-hmm.
So all the while it's not a serious academic text, people will learn something from this this collection of essays, we all learn something just simply by editing them and putting them together, and there's something in there for every reader.
Okay, and I believe there's a couple of more we want to mention.
Yeah, and also because it's not just foreigners, we also have some Colombian writers and members of the Bogota writers who are part of this burgeoning literary scene in Bogota, and they're Colombian writers who write fiction in English, writers of really high standard, but they can also talk about sort of seeing Gabo from the other side, living in Colombia, growing up in Colombia, and therefore growing up with Gabo and the shadow of him and what people say about him in Colombia, which I think is really interesting.
It is important that, you know, this is not just a document of foreigners writing about Gabo. It's also, you know, it's been open to everyone. And so to have the Bogota writers, you know, it's a prestigious group. There's no joke about it. They're serious. They really take their time and they really do their homework. So we were happy that the Bogota writers expressed an interest and have been participating too. So, and then beyond that, I think we've got people with experience in the peace brigades and other such things who really tell a story of a different Colombia, perhaps something that you wouldn't hear about.
And it's all very personal. I think that's the most important thing here. These are people who have sometimes difficult day jobs, but are able to convey on paper all of the passion, the emotion, the romance of this country too. So it's really been quite phenomenal. I think we were all overwhelmed. I think we came up with this idea for this project, put these things out there, and the submissions we received, we've really had to sift through, we've really had to narrow it down. It's been quite
difficult.
We're still
working on it.
We're still working on it, yeah. Now, though, for those of you, if you did submit, just a quick message to those of you out there, if you did submit, we are going through it at the moment. We are sifting through. You will hear from us, okay? So just stay, you know, everyone who doesn't, stay aware of your email inbox and whatever. We will be getting in touch with you regarding your submission. I mean, there's been for everyone, as you say, from humanitarians to bloggers. I mean, it's from everyone out there. And
all ages
and all backgrounds. And
food writers as well.
Yeah. Exactly, everything.
And so that's for us, that's very exciting. We hope to narrow it down to a certain amount, I think around 25, something like that.
We're not publishing an encyclopedia that we can.
And we imagine that will turn out being around 150 pages long. So this is a book of a decent size. This is something that, you know, this is not just some sort of flyer out there. So we're hoping to make it very interesting out there. Now, when's the launch? Who wants to share the launch date with everyone out there?
So we don't have a specific date, but we are going to launch it at the book fair, the Feria del Libro, Silvo is called,
Filbo, I think. Yeah.
The Bogota Feria del Libro, which is from the 22nd of April to the 4th of May. The book will be on sale at the book fair. We'll be having a launch, and you'll just have to stay tuned to Columbia Calling to find out the exact details.
Thank you for that nice plug.
To be confirmed. And because we're really excited about that, because it's one of the biggest book fairs in Latin America, if not the world. It attracts writers from and publishers from all around the world, and it's you were there with last year with Columbia Comedy Viewers. It's a really special event.
What was your experience there? Let's say, what are we hoping to experience this year? What did you experience in 2014?
What I love about the book fair is there has been some concern in Colombia about literacy levels. Books here are extremely expensive. They go far beyond the minimum wage in terms of who can afford them, how many books Colombians are reading each year. And the book fair just sort of flies in the face of all that. It gathers all these people with a real passion for books, warehouses and warehouses and warehouses piled high with books, and everybody's super excited, buying, wanting to meet authors, getting their books signed, looking for the newest releases. Really, it's been one of my best experiences in Colombia, has been part of that and being able to share. And even with a book in English, you know, people wandering over, what is this book? You know, I want to read it. Oh, will it come out in Spanish? You know, oh, I want to buy it because I want to improve my English. I want to know what foreigners think about my country. I think launching this book at the book fair is going to be a special experience for everybody, really.
And so we'll be in a section of independent books, let's
say. Absolutely. Anybody who wanders by wants to know more about the book and have their copy signed and purchase an early edition. Yes, I mean, the book fair has space for everybody.
Of course, that's held at Corferia. It's the big convention center in sort of, I guess, Western Bogota, sort of Western Bogota down there. And of course, but for those of you, and because I do realize that most of you out there are listening overseas, the book will be available on Amazon and all of those other various outlets, and I'm sure we will put it all over Facebook too.
Yeah, Amazon's made it just so easy for anybody to get hold of a copy. So yeah, there'll be no distribution problems for us.
Okay, excellent. And do, I mean, you know, we did touch on this little thought. do we think? Do we really personally feel that, you know, that'll be our second volume? Are we that positive?
Well, we didn't think the first one would be an amazing project as it has been. So who knows? I mean, Columbia, everything's possible, right?
Yeah, there's been such an enormous response to it. And unfortunately for the contributors, we were quite tight on time, so it was quite a short submission period. I think from the submission call until closure, it was sort of 6 weeks. And so I think there's still a lot of untapped stories out there that really should be shared.
Yeah, but it's a truth. I mean, there's one of those things. Nothing's perfect. Nothing, you know, you can't organise everything in the blink of an eye. But we had the idea came together. We sat down. There was probably alcohol involved.
You know, I'd be surprised if there wasn't.
big war-weary journalists and writers. No, but no. I mean, it's really exciting, and we can't impress home. How exciting this is to do that. And of course, it is a work in progress. We are sifting through the contributors at the moment, and of course we are, you know, speaking with the publishing company how best to put it together, the order. And I believe, you know, we want to interweave other elements of the sort of Gabo legend into there. Caroline, you have more information about this.
Yeah, so through getting together all the materials for the book, I've been doing a lot of reading about Gabo, and Gabo in his own words, either through his own authorised biographies, his autobiography, and then just a ton of... He wasn't someone who gave a lot of interviews, but actually because he was famous for a very long time, you can pull together quite a few interviews, and he's fascinating. He's, you know, he seems like the kind of person I would have loved to have sat down and had a whiskey with, because he's, you know, in his own words, he is very interesting, very funny, and so we're trying to get some of that flavour of who he was, the stories behind his books as well, because he admits it himself, nothing in his books. Well, he says nothing, but I think it's perhaps a Gabo exaggeration, but most of his books have a kernel of reality. And so just understanding, you know, what that is and what the stories are behind that, I think is fascinating. Mm-hmm.
And the book's almost representative of something that we've also touched on, which is this kind of growing movement in Colombia of the literary element, really. I mean, it's very difficult for all of us to explain why we've fallen in love with Colombia, because it's multifaceted, but we all live in Bogota or have strong connections to Bogota. And we've really noticed there that things have started to move, haven't we? When you spoke about the Bogota writers, a swathe of guidebooks that have come out, anthropological works, people studying the anthropology of the country, books like this, the creativity. So we're really tapping into something a lot bigger, I think, with this book. So yes, we've got Gabo as this kind of pin behind the whole thing, but I think people are going to start to see a lot more creativity come out of Bogota, particularly from the foreign community and people who write in English.
And not only out of Mompos too, from around this table, it would be like the version of La Cueva from Barranquilla.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about that.
But that's the nice thing. I think there's a real sense of community there as well. I think people love being part of a movement, don't they? And they love, you know, great works don't just come from anywhere. They people stand on the shoulders of giants. They inspire one another. They motivate one another. They force one another to work, because if you have some kernel of talent, but you see people around you producing, and you think, you know, I can do this too. We give each other confidence. We offer each other incentives, techniques of how to publish, how to get things together. So we're really, with this book, we're really just part of something that's a lot bigger, that people who live and understand Bogota and Colombia can really see happening. So that's fantastic too.
And Gabo, you know, he may have been an Irishman, as the title of our book suggests, but we do know that he grew up in Colombia, and so he was very blessed to have done that, because he lived in Paris, he lived in New York for a while, Barcelona, Mexico, but his books are pretty much 100% and you know, have a really strong Colombian element to them, and influenced by Colombia. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that so many writers do come here, or, you know, when they come here they love it, because there is so much inspiration because of the crazy cocktail that you find in Colombia.
Should we say, because I know that people out there are asking this question, why this working title was Gabo an Irishman? I mean, you made reference to it there, so that's fair. You've led me into this question. Should we let them wait until the book is out for an explanation of this working title, which may or may not become the real title? Or do you want to explain why perhaps this title is there?
You may have picked up from my accent that I'm the Doherty of the Doherty Dinner of All Parts. But I'm Irish, so it may be that my influence in that. But just, you know, reading about Gabo, reading about his life, there was... It really opened my eyes to my own country, the magic realism that you have there, the weird contrasts. He talks about his grandmother would tell him these stories of ghosts wandering through the house, but then his grandfather would tell him the stories of going to war and very sort of gritty real stories mixed in with this beautiful magic. And imagining sort of taking him out of the Caribbean coast, I don't think his stories would have as much heat in them for a start.
Of course.
But taking him out of the Caribbean coast and dropping him in Ireland and imagining he would have made of all that, because there's some similarities there. And then there's other similarities in his life with other Irish writers.
But I always like this. I mean, when you say the sort of Irish link to this kind of, I would say a sort of folklore, some sort of reference. I always think of giving directions, because here I've got my mother-in-law who is from Monpos, and when I say, listen, I need to go and look for the carpenter, where does he live? Oh, you need to go over the road, up the street, and then find the house that's in front of the tree with the bicycle leant against it. Now, you guys are in Monpos. There are a fair few bicycles and a fair few trees, but that's it. That's the direction. Now, I have friends who now live in Seattle, but, of Irish descent, and they used to sort of man a pub in the southwest of Ireland back in the day, and the directions were turn left at the Black Cow. And the Black Cow was actually a black cow. It wasn't a pub. It was turn left at the Black Cow.
It was a cow that would feed the community.
Yeah, it was a real cow. And so I always say, when you think of that link between, let's say, Ireland, but it's not specific to Ireland, but of course Ireland is known for its literary greats, but there is that sort of connection, isn't there? I don't know.
Yes, I think probably that's the secret to Gabo. Once you start looking into it, you can find magical realism in your backyard.
And yeah,
nose around London with a different perspective after reading 100 Years of Solitude, looking at your own grandmother, and you think, hang on a minute.
Well, I always think that actually about relatives. I've been out in Suffolk, but I assume you found Gabo in that chilly Manchester flat.
Yeah. Which is why he's so universally adored. I mean, mm-hmm. if his works only were relevant to the costeños from Colombia, then it would never have gone anywhere, would it? Mm. But everybody identifies with it.
This is true.
Which is what's been so fantastic for our own book, because if you try to pull together a collection of essays that nobody could feel that personal touch, we wouldn't have got anywhere. But the reason we were so overwhelmed is that everybody has that personal identification with an author that really nobody really knew that well.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Now, we've got 5 minutes left. We've got 5 minutes just to wind down this show.
Where are we going?
Oh, yeah, the difficult questions.
The difficult questions.
So if this, the beauty pageant in Colombia, you, I would be saying, who are your role models? And you'd be saying, God and your mother.
And Gandhi.
What did you want for Christmas? World peace and sausages for my tea. It's that sort of thing. But no. What we're all writers. We all do our things. What projects have we got coming up this year? Let's do a little bit of gratuitous self-promotion. 2015, any other books in the pipeline? Because you,
yes.
Obviously, 2014, Victoria, with Sergio, you had Columbia Comedy of Errors, and Caroline, I'm pretty sure, Caroline Doherty de Novoa, author of Dancing with Statues, has something else up her sleeve for 2015. 4 minutes to share everything with us.
Yes, I mean, mine can be summarised very quickly. Sergio and I have had a lot of success with Columbia Comedy of Errors. Really great experience last year. The book's available all around the world thanks to the joys of Amazon. So we really had to answer the question of why did we write a book about Colombians that's not available in Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting down at the moment. The translation, thanks to Sergio, is happening. And we will be releasing the Spanish version of Columbia Comedy of Errors at the book fair. And then finally, after 4 years of living in this country, I've really had to work on some personal projects. Banana Skin Flip Flops has been great for me.
And I think it's time for me to write some of the secrets behind banana skin flip-flops. So I'm compiling that, and hopefully with the winds of inspiration, places like Mompos, hopefully that will be out later on this year as well. God, so it's going to be a busy year.
Busy person at the book fair, too.
Could be a three-book year.
Three-book year. Not even J.K. Rowling or John Grisham produced three.
Harry Potter, but we'll see how we go.
All right, and Caroline?
So I should have mentioned earlier, but I'm a member of the Bogota Writers as well, which is why I was waxing lyrical about them. But we have a book of short stories coming out, taking Bogota as a character. This is sort of the theme running through the stories, but they're all very different. Some of them are in the future, some of them are in the past, some of them are love stories, some of them are sort of horror stories. And so that's coming out. We're busy working in that. We've chosen our stories, and now we're busy editing those. And that will be out, I think, April time as well.
So at the book fair too.
Yeah.
So I will be the one manning the stand.
Holding the fort.
Holding the fort while we're running around doing
what's Gabo, an Irishman. Yes. And as an Englishman, explaining the Irish links.
Yes.
And you guys will be off in your own private project.
Yes. And then I've just finished my second novel. So I don't know if that will be out next year or if it will be early the following year. I just have to see how the publishing schedule works for that. But I'm quite excited about that. The interesting thing is my first novel I wrote, Dancing with Statues, I wrote in London, and it's a large chunk of it is based in Bogota. That was before I moved to Bogota. Now that I'm living in Bogota, I'm writing about Belfast in New York, two other places that I've spent large parts of my life. And I think also people complain about Gabo and how he left, but he's still a Colombian writer, whether he lives in Mexico or Paris, and that's the way I feel as well. Sometimes you need that distance to see.
I'm completely on board with the distance thing, and not only is it because I'm laconic and lazy in Mompos and the heat wears me down, but it helps me think about Mompos from Bogota, you know. It helps me sort of, you know, concentrate. So that's that, really.
You can't always understand and decipher things if you're in the middle of them, can you? And
yeah,
that's the whole point.
Well, again, thank you very much for being here in Mompos, and thank you for agreeing to do the show. We're going to make a great success of this book, of that I am sure. So listen, this is a moment to thank Caroline Doherty de Novoa, author of Dancing with Statues, Victoria Calloway, co-author of Columbia, Comedy of Errors, for being on here and talking about our new project out at the Bogota Book Fair. Working title, Was Gabo an Irishman? It's been a fun show, no?
Yeah. Thank you so
Happy
much.
Happy New Year.
First show of the year coming to a close. This has been Columbia Calling. If you've enjoyed the show, please get in touch. That's columbiacalling@gmail.com. columbiacallingradio.com is the website. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, everything else, and all of the necessary evils of social media that are out there that take up all of our time today. But anyway, this has been Columbia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please get in touch. Keep listening. Download old shows. I've been Richard McCall. Here from Mompos, signing out.